Welcome to episode 363 of Coffee Pods and Wads. You can go to lskd.co and you can use CPW LSKD to get a discount on their new t-shirts that are launching. They're Good Times Club, but they've got a nice new look about them. You can go to Sentinel Training if you want to improve. I mean, it's probably a little bit too late to do it for the Open, but like next year's around the corner. They have some serious advice coming for the Open, and they've got probably just the best training out there beyond the Open. Get yourself involved. You can go to join.whoop.com/CPW. You can get a discounted Whoop membership and a free strap. I think I get like $40 as well. So, you know, it's a win-win-win. I guess Whoop really win. And then you and I kind of win a little bit. But Whoop is good. Tracks your recovery, tracks your sleep, tracks your strain. All pretty accurately. And helps you get a broader picture of who you are and what makes you tick. Speaking of what makes you tick, if your muscles twitch and tick and prevent you moving and generally spasm, you can download GoWatt, do a free mobility test, or if you're already a member, keep an eye out over the next couple of weeks. During the Open, they're going to have some Open-specific protocols to warm up and cool down. Once the workouts are released, the app will update with the relevant movements and how to prime for them and how to recover after them. That's GoWatt. Might get them delivered in time for next week's Open workout, but if you order off frogwrist.com, you're guaranteeing yourself the best grips out there. They've also got knee sleeves, they've got thumb tape, got loads of stuff, so frogwrist.com for that. And if you want to track your Open workouts for yourself, as well as on the Open leaderboard, you can download Beyond the Whiteboard, btwb.com, and you can have a look at their app for tracking. I use it for tracking my workouts that aren't on Sentinel. Keep track of what I'm doing. And they've also got affiliate programs where you can move all of your current members over to Beyond the Whiteboard, and it just takes care of everything for you. All payment, everything all migrates over. It's fantastic. Over the next few weeks, I'll be visiting some affiliates with D8 Fitness. You can go to d8fitness.com. You can service your machinery if you're based in Ireland. You can order basically whatever you need for your gym, anything from cardio equipment to thumb tape and chalk. d8fitness.com. Actually, I would really appreciate this if you went on to vindicate.com and bought some of the show t-shirts and long sleeves. They got the cool Coffee Pods and Wads logo on the front. They got Cough Pod Wad written on the back. It's kind of like black on black or grey on grey or teal on teal. They look really cool. I'm really proud of them. And I would love to make this a success. So if you go to vindicate.com, they do international delivery. They've got all Savan's gear, Hiller's gear, Colton Merton stuff, if you want to buy some of that. They've got hats there as well, Coffee Pods and Wads hats. If you are based in the UK and Ireland and you don't want any of that stuff, you just want Coffee Pods and Wads stuff, you can go to risingtide.com, risngtide.com, risngtide.com. They are bulk ordering from the US, getting it shipped over to the UK to avoid pesky customs charges and deliveries. So that's vindicate.com if you're in anywhere and want all the stuff, or if you just want Coffee Pods and Wads stuff and you're in the UK or Ireland or Europe, you can use Rising Tide. Today's guest is David Spurr. He's Brent Fikowski's coach. Clever guy. He's got a lot of stuff to say. Enjoy. Thank you.
Hey.
For coming on the show.
Yeah, man.
I just finished a workout. So my kids go to bed like an hour ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'll do a workout. So I wrote up like a 40-minute conditioning piece from Sentinel. And I was like, I'll have time to do that. And then by the time I had the kids put down, I was like, ah, it's not happening. So I did like, I did like a 25-minute EMOM.
Yeah.
And I finished at like 56. You know, when you're like looking for the remote and then you're like, oh, where did I leave that? You know, and then I was like, okay, I've got about half an hour. That gives me 5 minutes spare. And then it was like, oh shit, I've got 4 minutes spare. Oh shit, 3 minutes spare. I've got that wheeze now too.
Yeah, your brain's going to be sharp for this one.
Or dead. Brain dead. Pedro's late. Literally 45 seconds. That's good going for me. Evening. Yes. Hello. Vindicate. If you go to vindicate.com, I need to show you this, David.
Yep.
I need to show you two things. Bear with.
Got all the time in the world.
Okay, where are we? Here. Look at this. Look at this.
New gear.
Look at.
Spelt coffee wrong, but that's okay.
Where?
Missing an F and two E's.
Oh, you fucking dick. It comes in black. Yeah. Like it's kind of like really dark, like charcoal-y. And then like a lighter gray.
Yeah, I like it.
Uh-huh. And long sleeves.
Not for me, but I'll wear the t-shirt.
Hat. You're a hat guy.
I am a hat guy.
That's less trucker though. You seem like more trucker hat, are you?
Yeah, kind of all over the place.
I like that because it's black on black. I like black on black. I like color on color. Where you kind of almost can't see it.
Yeah.
So there's a pre-sale there. And if you go to, if you're in the UK, well, that doesn't open an extra tab, but it should open Rising Tide. And fuck, hang on. Also, I bought one of these for myself yesterday.
CrossFit Crash.
That's cool, isn't it?
Very nice and plain. Yep. Very cool.
I'm not 100% sure what that is. It kind of looks like a bird's head, but like Crash is rhino, so I don't know. Is it a rhino?
I can't really tell. It just looks like, I think it's maybe just a piece of the lettering breaking off, maybe supposed to be. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. Anyway, if everyone could just go and buy one of them. Oh, look. South Carolina with the star on Spartanburg. Oh, it's a map of South Carolina with the stars. Okay, right. Okay. Anyway.
Neither of us are from the US, so we're never going to get that.
So if everybody watching could just go and buy like four t-shirts each and two long sleeves each, that'd be great. I'd be able to feed my kids, keep the wolf from the door sort of thing. Do you know what, Mary? Go fuck yourself. just in case anybody doesn't know who you are.
We should just talk about merch for 1 hour and just disappoint everyone.
This is who you are. Part of who you are.
It's all of who I am.
You're Brent Fikowski's Siamese twin. Conjoined twin. So we kind of hung out a little bit at Wallapalooza. Well, you were probably like, we were standing beside each other, but I was like, we're hanging out. we're best friends now. So you're David Only Training. So you're Only Training coach.
That's us. Yeah, that's the name of the company. I own the company. It's just myself and one other coach.
Who's the other coach?
His name's Jesse Sheriff.
What does he bring to the table?
He's just another coach. He's got a good crew of athletes of his own. We probably have, I don't know, 20 to 30 athletes each.
Fuck, really?
Yep.
That's a lot though, right?
I think it's plenty, yeah.
Like too much? Manageable?
No, it's manageable, but I'm not.
100%. All like different levels?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. How many games athletes? Potentially three this year? No, four? You.
Me? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Like, how many do you have?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, am I a games athlete? No. Two that have been before. One who's always in the mix at semis for forever. A team that has been very close 2 years in a row. And then another couple semifinals athletes. But, yeah, Brent and Shelby Neal are obviously the top two that I coach. Shelby's only been a few months, so it's been good.
I was looking you up, so I knew you did weightlifting. I knew you had something to do with weightlifting, like historically.
I did compete in weightlifting, yeah, for a while.
And like to a high standard, right?
I mean, as high as masters weightlifting can go. It's not anywhere near what people are doing like at the Olympics, but yeah, like masters worlds and stuff like that.
What age are you?
I'm 41 now. I only competed. Fuck. Yeah.
Jeez, I would not have had you pegged at 41.
You thought I was 50.
I thought we were the same age as each other.
How old
when
you
started saying like masters weightlifting, and I was like, but he was doing this a while ago. This isn't that recent. I'm 34, 35.
Yeah. So you're saying I look great for 41 then.
Or I look like shit.
Maybe we meet in the middle.
Yeah, okay. We're both mediocrely. I'm mediocrely bad, you're mediocrely good. Yeah. Wow, you used to have quite the beard. Sorry, yeah. I'm just doing a little creep.
It was just a COVID thing, really, to be honest.
One of the side effects.
The side effects.
Shortness of breath and beard.
Yeah, massive beard and never shaving. That is
that's a very well insulated, very poorly drywalled room.
So what's funny about this is, well, I don't know if it's funny or not, but it's in lockdown at my parents' house, who live in the middle of absolutely nowhere, in their garage that's like minus 30 in the winter. So my dad is a carpenter and he basically built this room that we can put a heater in, and I could train in the winter in COVID in that room.
Wow. It looks quite snug.
Super snug. Yeah. There was a few bars going through the wall.
I was going to say, yeah, no miss lifts. Like,
there's like, some miss, they just don't go on Instagram.
There's, I can't remember who it was. Oh. Was it Paul? There's a guy in the UK, Paul Warrior. He's a coach, and he used to coach this guy, this like Asian British guy, and he used to do weightlifting in his. It was like a one car garage, but like what you wouldn't fit a car in it. So like he was, if his bar path didn't just go vertical, he was going to hit the wall. Like it was literally, he had about a foot in front of him and about a foot behind him,
yeah,
or like two feet behind him and a foot in front, but there was like a freezer and shit behind him. So it was literally like, if he at all swung away from the hips, the barbell was just going to get lodged in the wall and just like sit there. It's like, it was. Yeah, that's very nervy to watch. How did you get into weightlifting? What age did you start weightlifting at?
Like 28, 27. Late,
okay.
Super late. I started doing CrossFit and weightlifting kind of simultaneously, and it wasn't until like after I was done playing all my other sports that I like, you know, found CrossFit in like 2011 and started doing that and competed in CrossFit and weightlifting kind of simultaneously, and then more so in masters weightlifting like after I was done competing in CrossFit. I think the last time I competed on a team at regionals was 2017, and then pretty much from like 17 till 24 or 23, I guess, I was just competing in weightlifting, maybe even 22. But I was always like working with a weightlifting coach that I knew the whole time. And yeah, he was a master's world record holder in multiple weight classes and age groups and stuff. So I just found weightlifting through CrossFit, I guess, really. But
what year did you say? 2011
CrossFit. Yeah,
that's quite a while ago though. That's like early-ish, you know, like that's reasonably early.
It's definitely not like the original crew, but it's maybe like first wave of like when CrossFit sort of was getting close to like an actual sport. Like, you know, you couldn't just sign up for the games
and just show up with your bottle labels and say, hey, I'm in.
Yeah, I think 2012 I did the open for the first time, and I did the open from 12, 13, 14, 15. Missed a year or two in there.
And what team were you on at regionals in, what year was that? 2017 is that what you said, the last year?
13 and 17, yeah. CrossFit 204 out of Winnipeg. I feel like we were like third or fourth in 13, but only two teams went from our Canada West region. And then Synergy CrossFit or CrossFit Saskatoon in 2017.
Is that them?
we were nowhere near, no, that's Jeremy Meredith. And this is just a gang of friends from Western Canada. Jeremy Meredith helped me with coaching Brent, and he was at the games in like 2012. He qualified out of Canada West.
This guy.
That guy.
Solid mustache.
Great stash. He still rocks it today.
Just get lost on Instagram.
Yeah, I see that. CrossFit Vernon.
Okay, so what sports did you play before? You said that you played other sports.
Golf, hockey. Yeah, those were my.
Okay, so sticks. You like sticks.
Yeah.
Oh, things baseball with, too.
Baseball, yeah. Anything with external objects, I guess, yeah.
What level were you at in those sports? Like, were they like, you know, recreational or serious?
I mean, golf was probably the most serious I took a sport. I played at junior nationals. I never ended up playing any college golf, but I played into my early 20s at like on the national level. Played at the national juniors in 2017 and 18, and then the Manitoba or Canadian mid amateur in 2009, I guess, was the last year I played competitively. So like not at like a crazy level, but good enough, I guess.
How did you get into golf? Is that an obscure, well, it's not that obscure, but it's not, a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah, it's definitely gaining some traction now again since COVID, but yeah, just through my dad and my brother, I think when I was young, I started golfing when I was like probably 11 or so, just kind of like for fun. Didn't start taking it really more seriously till I was probably 14 or 15, something like that. And yeah, I just loved it.
Fucking hell. Rambler, man, you need to calm the fuck down. Can you see the comments?
No, not at all.
Oh my God. Honestly.
What are they on about?
There's a guy, Rambler, that used to be in the comments all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he vanished for like 2 months. Now he's back, but it's like Sunday Rambler. But honestly, 14 unanswered messages in the comments section just now.
Curly. There was, nice. This guy just going, now I can see them just going crazy. Top golf is the way to go. Top golf is not the way to go.
Sticks and balls. That's the title of Bartley Dale's autobiography. Sticks and balls.
Nice. Yeah.
His, have you ever seen hurling?
Hurling?
I know. Yeah.
No, I don't know what that is.
It's an Irish sport. Oh, am I going to get pinged now if I do this? Fuck it, I'll chance it. It's an Irish sport. It's like, it's the fastest ball game in the world. So the ball is about the size of a tennis ball, maybe a small bit larger, and it's like leather.
So it's kind of like lacrosse from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, but you if you run, you have to balance the ball on the hurl. It's like a stick. Crazy. You have to balance the ball. And then if you hit it over the bar, you get 1 point, and if you hit it into the goals, you get 3 points.
I like it. I would be into this sport for sure.
It's nuts. Like, people kick the shit out of each other doing it as well.
I mean, lacrosse is like our version of this for sure, but it's way easier than this because it's like a little basket on the end of the stick.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's cool. It's pretty intense.
Just full contact as well.
Yeah, like, you can, more or less, you can shoulder and, you know, there's like, there are fouls and stuff, but like, yeah, it's pretty, pretty hectic, like pretty full on. Okay, so golf. And then were you like, say, recreationally keeping yourself fit then during this time? Like, were you like kind of in global gym and doing that kind of shit? And then that's how you stumbled across CrossFit, or how did that happen?
I mean, it's like, it's quite a big gap from like my early athletics to like CrossFit, I guess. But yeah, like just global gym stuff, like to fill the time. That's how I stayed active, I guess. I didn't really, and I like always played sports, like kind of like after I'd stopped competing playing golf, and like, you know, played recreational hockey after I was done playing junior hockey and stuff like that. But yeah, it was global gym and that's it. Like even when I was younger, like training for sports like wasn't even a thing. Really, you just like did the sport and then that was it. There was no.
And when, say, because I saw on your Instagram, there's a video of you playing golf like recently enough.
Yeah.
When you stopped playing golf and when you stopped playing hockey, was there a like, did you like leave them alone? Like, did you like not allow yourself? Were you able to just go and be like, oh, I'm just going to go for a round of golf at the weekend? Or was it like too raw for a while? Did you have to like leave it?
It was impossible for a long time. Yeah. Like, it was like, if you left it for long enough, like where you're just like, I hate this, I'm done with this. And then you leave it for long enough, if you go back and try and play and then you're shit at it, it's like insanely frustrating. So like, I just didn't play. It's honestly,
were you the same with all the sports that you did? Let's say when you stop playing, did you leave a big gap?
I'd say the biggest with golf for sure, probably because it's like the one that tends to like disappear the quickest. Like it's so technical, it's so precise that like playing hockey and playing baseball and stuff, you can kind of like just jump back in at any time and be like, okay, like, you know, got to knock the rust off a little bit, but it's like, you know, I can just do this. Whereas golf, it's like, you can't just like be like where you were or even close to it.
What was your best handicap?
I mean, I was a scratch golfer for a long time.
Wow. That's impressive. Yeah, I went to a driving range twice, once like about 6 years ago. And I remember distinctly hitting the first ball I hit. It made that like perfect sound and just fucking, I still don't think it's landed.
Crazy, crazy feeling, right?
Yeah. And then the 53 after that, like I went over I like clipped the top of the ball. I hit the side of the wood panel to my right.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Like club went, like, yeah, it all, like, it's, oh my God. I don't know how people play that sport. Like, it's so.
I always tell people how much I think that golf and weightlifting are, how similar they are, and they never understand it, but it's just like, it's very monotonous. It's very same, you know, just repetitive. It's like, you need to do the same thing over and over and over. It's so precise. And it's like largely like, you know, hitting like perfect snatch, perfect clean and jerk feels in a way like hitting a perfect golf shot, where it's like, oh, it's like, why don't I just do this every time? But it's like, you know.
Yeah. They're both kind of like socially shit as well. Like,
crazy. Well, I wouldn't say that about, I mean, have you been to a golf course?
Yeah, but as in, so like, say if you want to be a professional golfer and you're playing golf to the standard and the amount of time that you need to be playing it at, that's fucking socially shit.
That's crazy. It's madness, really. It's like, you know, you think these games athletes are training a lot or whatever. It's like, I mean, guys don't stop practicing, like, you know, all hours of every day, basically.
Do you work with any golfers?
No, thank God.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why, are they just assholes or?
No, I don't know. I just, like, I don't think I have anything to really offer them, to be quite honest. Like, I mean, if a golfer who like randomly wanted like generic strength training program, I'd be like, okay, sure, but you know, I don't have any like golf specific drive it further, whatever.
You know, not try and get it near the flag.
Yeah. No, I don't. Yeah.
So how do you go from playing lots of sports and, you know, being the athlete to coaching? Because it sounds like if you weren't training for the sports that you were playing, it sounds like that interest wasn't there. Like, you obviously cultivated that interest or had like a light bulb moment or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It, I guess, sort of organically, like, you know, just through coaching CrossFit classes early on, like kind of like covering classes, because honestly, in 2011, like, not a lot of people like knew what they were doing, like, at all. It was not like today where it's like, oh, you know, there's all these like coaches everywhere and like, you know, access to drills and like that. None of that existed, right? It was kind of like you'd go on Instagram or whatever, not even Instagram, you didn't have Instagram back then, but like you'd find on YouTube like, you know, Froning videos, and it's like, oh, sick, like let's do that, and then like, you know, let's figure out how to not swing twice between two toes to bar. Like, it was just all figuring it out largely. And then, you know, kind of developed from there, like, and to where it is today, where it's like, if you want to learn how to do something in CrossFit, like type it into Google, there's going to be 80,000 videos on how to do these things, or at least put, like, get you started in the right direction. But for me, it was just like, I guess was athletic enough to start figuring things out. And then it's like, okay, well, you're coaching now. It's like, okay, you know, and then whatever. I mean, just, I guess my history of sports, I've always been, I feel like, yeah, like I've always been like a, I guess like a more of a thinker in sports, and like plotted my way through a lot of sports, whether it's like an X and O, like X's and O's of like hockey or, you know, whatever team sport, or even just strategically playing on the golf course. I think it lended itself well to like actually thinking about how to attack CrossFit workouts rather than just like, okay, just like go until you can't breathe anymore. It was like, okay, there's some things that you can do to like, you know, make it a little bit easier on yourself. It's never going to be easy, of course, but strategically. And then people, yeah, just started, you know, eventually over time, it was like, oh, you know, you're so good at coaching CrossFit, blah, 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 this and that. And I had some good mentors along the way, and just naturally kind of ended up where I am now.
How do you end up coaching someone like Brent? Cause he did his own stuff for a while, right?
I don't think Brent ever did his own stuff. It might've been like what was thought, but like, I just don't think Brent's ever had a coach that's like sought like the like spotlight. Like I feel like one of his first coaches, or his main coach that he got into the games originally, was
the Australian guy.
The Australian guy. Yeah. And Brent to this day still speaks incredibly highly of him. And, you know, I think that honestly, if Brent could go back in time, he probably wouldn't have changed coaches if he like knew what would have happened when he did. I think it was just kind of one of those things where he thought he needed to like make a change. And like, so he did. And I think it was not the right move, but I mean, I think he'll tell you now that he's like happy where he is now, but like there was a few rough years in the middle.
I think that's the period I thought he was coaching himself after Bobby and before you.
Yeah. I mean, he was coached by Nick Fowler at Brute Strength for a while.
Right. Okay.
And then after that is kind of, so myself and one other guy sort of started helping Brent after the online games, whatever year.
That was Mitch.
Mitch Barnard. Yeah. So Mitch was writing stuff for him, and then I was sort of helping out. And then, you know, I was started coaching, or I was in the back with Brent in 2021 games. We had a great year. 2022 was a disaster, but it kind of like, I think, changed the course of like how we started training and what we were focusing on. And then ever since basically the end of the games in 2022 is we've been pretty on fire. So it's been good.
What was wrong with 2022? Why was it a disaster?
I mean, I guess from Brent's standards, just like 16th of the games is just fairly unacceptable for Brent and where he's at and what he's capable of. And it wasn't like, oh, the events were bad. It was just like, we were just brutal. We had some things happen in the off season. I mean, I don't even know if it matters anymore, but Brent would never talk about it. But Brent had a knee surgery that, you know, I think most people probably figured something was wrong. He had a torn meniscus at 2021 games when he finished third. And so he was pretty limited there in some things. Just never brought it up because the type of guy he is, he didn't want to make it sound like, oh, I did this with, you know, with one leg. Imagine if I didn't, like, it's not like everyone's dealing with something, you know what I mean? Like everyone's got injuries throughout the season here and there. So he just never felt like it meant anything. So he just never brought it up in the media, I don't think. And like me telling you this now, like, I don't think he cares anymore because it's just like so far past and he's 100% now. And, but yeah, I think that happened almost immediately following 2021 games. He had surgery, and then we were contemplating not even doing the 2022 season. And it was kind of like during the open, he just kind of like walked his way through the workouts And then by quarters, it was kind of like, oh, like he seemed pretty good, but we just didn't have those months off that where he couldn't really do much. Just kind of like we paid the price at the end of the season when it was like, oh, like, you know, I think he still won the semifinals that year, which was crazy, but you could tell he wasn't nearly in his best form.
Yeah. But like, so he does really well in 2021 and then he has surgery. And then, so I'm guessing like he does the Open, kind of goes through the motions, then he does quarterfinals and he's probably operating at his like 80%, 90%, yep, looking pretty good. But other people are probably operating at their 70%, 75%. So it looks like he's maybe papering over cracks a little bit in the quarterfinals or whatever.
Yeah.
Then when he gets the games, so like when you described it initially, you said like disaster, you said something else self-deprecating about like the group or whatever.
Yeah. Just like, I think just knowing what he's capable of and like, you know, not saying like finishing 16th at the games is shit, obviously.
Yeah, by his standards, it's relative
to himself. Like, you know, yeah, he goes in being like, I know I'm a top five games athlete. Like that's kind of the thing. And if I can get on the podium, that's great. And obviously, you know, if the stars align and you win, that's the absolute best thing ever. But like 16th, it's kind of like, you know, and workouts that historically I think people would look at, and probably when the workouts got announced, you know, some workouts show up and it's like, oh, this is a Fikowski workout. And then it's like, no, he's 30th.
Yeah.
it was not good.
What do you do after that? Like, as in, do you just say like, cool, Brent, catch up in a couple of weeks, you go be pissed off somewhere and then we'll chin wag after a while? Do you like debrief immediately? Because if he moved coach and was like, shit, this is a mistake afterwards, like in hindsight,
yeah,
is it hard to not, as a coach, to not have that kind of doubt of like, oh shit, what if he thinks this is a mistake?
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that one for sure. There was very quick debrief. I think definitely like myself and Brent have crazy amounts of communication, like very, very open lines of communication at all times. Like we chat almost every day. We don't live anywhere near each other, but we talk constantly. And I think like, it's not like, at no point were we like, oh, the games was over before it was over. But I think like, you know, probably subconsciously both of us knew halfway through that we were like, fuck, this is, we're going to try and get every point we can, because there's things like invitations to Rogue and stuff like that is, you know, those things are actually massive in this sport. And it's like, just because he's disappointed, it was like, we don't really have time to feel sorry for ourselves in the competition. But like pretty much as soon as the game was done, like the next day, it was like, okay, like, what are we going to do this year to like right the ship? Like what's going on? And, you know, that conversation sort of opened immediately. And like, I think like what you said, it wasn't 2 weeks, but there was a couple of days where it was like, you know, just like get away from everything for a few days. But then like the conversation started happening like pretty quickly after the games. And yeah, we made some pretty drastic changes for 2022 and everything went really well. And I'd say that we're still kind of like on that upper trajectory from like making those changes. So like this year, like, yeah, like the momentum and just like vibes in the camp are like feeling pretty good right now, I gotta say. So, yeah. But yeah, 2022 was not enjoyable at the games at all. Like no one had fun.
So he goes third, 16th, fourth.
Yeah.
But if he finished third, oh, people are going to be in the chat now about the way I say third. If he finished third, and then was injured and had a shit off season, and then you say after that you made drastic changes, like would the initial instinct not just to be, okay, let's just actually have a proper off season and then we should be back to where, because if we finished third the last time we had a great season and then you were injured, now if you have a great season again, we'll go like, surely, like why make such drastic changes?
Yeah, it's a good question, but also already kind of like we had a seed a little bit planted just of the events that weren't great in 2021, it was like, we're like, something's missing here already. And so, you know, it was these longer, you know, if you look at it, I mean, even though his leg was bad, it was like, it wasn't so bad that he couldn't do anything. Like, he still obviously could do all the workouts. He finished third of the CrossFit Games. But, you know, you look at the, I think it was like a, whatever it was, it ended up being like a 5K with the toes to bar in the middle. It's like, he was nearly last in that workout in 2021. And then the bike workout at 2022 games, and then the run to the Capitol workout at 2022 games, like all of those things combined were just like, like, we can't be finishing in the bottom third of these workouts. Like, this is outrageous.
And what is, cause he, like, he's strong, like
in some aspects. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's a good lifter. He's a good, like, you know, his strengths are really strong. Like, his workouts that he's really good in, he's really fucking good in those workouts. Yep. So how do you build up? Because he can't let his strength slip either, because he's not that strong. Do you know what I mean? He's not strong enough that he can be like, right, fuck it, I'll see you in October, barbell. Like, we're good. I need to work on this. So, like, how do you keep him? How do you build two completely different engines in an off season without, like,
So the crazy thing is, his weightlifting is very good. His powerlifting is trash. So his technique is phenomenal. And the weightlifting, you know, snatch, clean and jerk, it's always nice when those get tested. But obviously, like, look at Rogue, the deadlift comes up. Like, that was a PR deadlift, and it was it 18th out of 20 or something? You know, it's just not there. Yeah. It's not a good, he's not built to be a powerlifter in any means. Like, squat, and his squat and his deadlift are like, you know, they're constantly being worked on and they're moving in the right direction. It's just like, relative to the field, it's like these guys are just like so stupidly strong. But what, like, I think, you know, what a lot of people would think is crazy is like, Brent doesn't weightlift. Like, you're just like, oh, you can't just like let it. It's like, he doesn't weightlift. We just don't spend the time there. And then it's like, okay, a workout gets announced for, you know, Wadapalooza, the snatch. It's like, so a couple of weeks out, it's like, well, we better snatch twice before Wadapalooza and hope that you still know how to do this. And then he finishes second in the snatch workout and it loses to Gi, and it's like, okay, you're still the best at snatch, so we don't need to do that for the next 2 months for sure.
And is that just because his technique is so good, and then if he's keeping his strength up in other areas, that it can't fail, it can't dip really?
That's like, until we see proof of like otherwise, like, there's no reason to spend like valuable time. Like, the time is so like limited, right? Like, and how, especially now, like, you know, they just keep adding movements every year. It's like, oh, you've got to know press to handstand, and you got to know fucking back roll to support on the rings, and you got to know triple unders and crossover. Like, where do you do all this stuff? So something has to give. And it's like, well, you're finishing top five every single weightlifting event, in every single competition, regardless if it's snatch or clean and jerk. So like, those are out. And, you know, he still squats and deadlifts like crazy, but like, his technique stays sharp, and it's, you know, as long as he keeps like placing where he's placing, it's like, we're not going to change it. So.
Yeah. Is someone like Brent like the dream athlete to coach, or a tricky athlete to coach? Because someone who, like, he's incredibly intelligent just in general, and he's incredibly intelligent with programming, as in, I've heard him talk about like different muscles that I've never even fucking heard of, and like how, like, different movements and stuff and how the body works, and like, he's big into like physiology and all, like, he really, really, really immerses himself in it. So is that like, is he like the dream person to work with, because you can just give him like one sentence and not have to explain everything else, and he's totally bought in because he knows all the background stuff? Or is he difficult because he's like, he'll have questions about, as in, he could push back or be like, well, why am I, you know, like, pick at it a bit.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, he does that all the time, but I think that's the beauty of like our, you know, relationship, is that we solve problems with a lot of back and forth. And not just, here, do this. And he's just blindly going, okay, you know, why? I don't care why. I'm just going to do it. And, you know, and his feedback influences things that I program going forward, where it's like, oh, you know, if we wanted this, this is kind of how this felt, whatever. And we work really well that way with conversations back and forth. Like, our communication is like really quite huge. So, I mean, for me, it's a dream athlete because we problem solve, I think, like very similarly. I think with certain coaches, it would be, it would never work because it would, there would just be this like clash of, you know, trains of thought, but we actually problem solve in a similar way. And so like, it seems to work very well. We've never, I don't think there's ever been an issue of where if something isn't going well, where we've just been like at total opposites. It's always been like, okay, well, you know, that wasn't working, or, you know, we need to fix this. So what do we do? And it's been like, we've never been at like opposite ends of the spectrum being like, I think you should do this. He's like, well, that's crazy. Like, we're usually close. And then it's like, okay, well, let's find somewhere where we can, you know, or try one way. And if it doesn't work, try the other way. But yeah, I mean, he would be a nightmare for some people. Absolutely. But it's, I love it.
Yeah. It's funny, like, talking to you now, because you're quite like level, like you appear placid, like we're talking now, but having seen you at Wadapalooza, you get quite amped when there's stuff happening. And then you got quite amped at different periods. So like during the weightlifting event, you were quite amped during that. You're like a bit of a, I don't think you actually bit your nails, but you're a bit of a nail biter, you know, you're like kind of
like brutally.
Okay. But you're like, you know, you're like the footballer watching the match that like heads every ball, or like, you know, you're like trying to do everything he does like for him. And then after, like, you were incredibly emotional at the end of Wadapalooza as well, which you generally don't see that much from coaches. Maybe Justin Kotler is the only other. Fraser's cried a few times as well. But like, again, it's not something that you regularly see. And then speaking to you now, it's kind of like, wow, you're a different guy on the side of the competition floor, and I'm assuming the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. It's just like, we've been through a lot of competitions now together, and like, quite frankly, like, it's not easy. Like, you know, and like, Brent kind of like pokes fun at himself a little bit, but at the same time, it's like, it's incredibly frustrating. Like, you know, whether it's him finishing fourth or whatever, and it's kind of like, oh, what a great finish. It's like, but like, you know, and at semis, like, we finished second, and it's like, oh wow, we had a great semis, and it's like, but fuck, it'd be nice to beat Pat. Like, you know, it's always these buts. And like, I don't know what it was about Wadapalooza, even though, you know, we lost to Ricky, you know, Ricky was great that weekend, but just the way I think that Brent like closed out the weekend with that workout, with that event, it was kind of like, finally, we got one where we just ended on like such a great note. And like, even though it wasn't like, you know, first place or whatever, it was like, okay, like, felt like we like got over some type of like hurdle that just seemed to be like plaguing us for whatever reason. And like, nothing specific, but like, just kind of felt like that. And so I think that, like, you know, execution and the way he went about that last workout at Wadapalooza, it was just like, oh, fuck, thank God. Like, you know, I don't want to like, you know, be in the hotel after being like, yeah, great weekend. But like, it was not like, that was a great weekend. Like, that was awesome.
Probably as well, because a not too dissimilar workout at the games cost him. And like, it's happened in the past where the final workout is the one that trips him up. Like, well, he's obviously made missteps the rest of the weekend, or the final workout wouldn't matter. But like, that's the one where he just has to do X, but ends up doing Y, and it like costs. So that probably as well. And I think, and maybe another aspect of it was, he wasn't picked. Like, people weren't saying, not many people are saying he's going to come first, second or third. Like, people had other people in the mix. So then that was nice that he usurped. So I picked him, but you know, I'm just,
I mean, I don't know what competitions they've been watching for the last 18 months. If he's not on the radar, like, who's been more solid the last 18 months? Pat?
Yeah, probably Brent and Pat.
Yeah, like literally fourth is the worst. You know, it's weird. It's like, I'm not that like, oh, Brent doesn't get his share of attention. Obviously he does, but like, you know, it's always this thing like, oh, Roman, like, Roman's gonna crush everyone. Roman's gonna destroy, and then he's like ninth at Wadapalooza. And it's like, we'll just kind of forget about that one. And then he's definitely going to win the games, though. It's like, if Brett finished ninth at Wadapalooza, we'd be driving off a bridge. Like that's not a good finish for, you know what I mean? But yeah. For whatever reason, it's just like, Roman's still the best. I don't understand. He's obviously, it's great, but, you know, Brent's been so solid for so long, and it's just like, he's never going to win, apparently, according to anyone. So I don't know. Maybe it's better for us that way. We just kind of like fly under the radar a little bit, but.
Yeah. I picked him to win, but I think that's just because I love Brent. It's like, I'll pick him, and then people be like, will question my choice. And I'm like, it's just Brent. It's just Brent. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess maybe I'm biased too, but.
Yeah. Well, you actually have statistics and shit to back it up. I just have like, but Brent. that's my defense of Ali Diamond Finger's like, but Brent. You know, you can pick now. I just want to double check that he's in this. But you know, let me just check. Yeah, in the Heat One app. Have you seen the Heat One app?
No.
I don't know if you'll be able to see that. The depth of, you can see that? There's Brent there at the top.
Okay.
So you can pick the announcement winners. So, you're not going to like this.
For the Open.
Yeah, so
I mean, I would take Jeff.
75% of people have picked Jeff.
Yeah,
that seems high. Like
Jeff hasn't Jeff won the Open like twice?
Yeah, I pick Brent because Brent.
I mean, it's gonna need to be a very specific workout for Brent to beat Jeff in an Open workout.
But why ask him to do the Open announcement?
Yeah,
why ask him if it's not going to be tight? They know the workouts. They're not going to ask. You know,
but what do you think it is?
They're not going to ask Brent and like Colton Mertens because they're polar opposite athletes.
Yeah.
But if they ask Brent and Jeffrey, they know Jeffrey's fitness and skill is enough that he'll, even if it's a like the most Brent Fikowski workout on paper, Jeff will still put up a very good fight. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a.
Yeah, I mean, Brent hasn't done a CrossFit workout since Wadapalooza, so it's probably a bit of an underdog.
I might just change my selection. You're not giving me any confidence about it. No, fuck it, I'm Team Brent. But yeah, you can pick all the announcement winners, so it goes through like week one, week two, week three at the top. So you can pick your announcement winners, and then there's the live showdown on Savan's podcast. So this week it's Taylor Self and Dallin Pepper. They're doing it against each other on Friday. And then they also have an underdogs mashup. So it's like Zane Healy and Grace Walton, their combined scores against Ricky Garrard and Kat Van Ziel. And they all, you're going to fucking love this bit. They also have a bracket matchup. So you can pick in the Open who is going to like go through. And in week one, Brent's up against Roman.
Oh, shit.
And Roman's got 83% of people have picked Roman so far.
I mean,
less now because I pick Brent.
People love the Open, hey?
Yeah. But anyway, go download Heat One. Heat One app. Because it does, it'll do like quarterfinals, semifinals, the games, like other competitions they had at Wadapalooza.
Semifinals is where I'll start voting.
Okay. Is it confidence in what you've been doing and how the competition's been going that allow you to say like, all right, you don't need to do any CrossFit before the Open or quarterfinals?
Partially. It's like, I mean, we just don't do that much at this time of year in general ever. So it's not like it's like an outrageous thing. It's not like, oh, we don't, you know, you start doing more of it closer to the quarterfinals, but right now it's just like the way the season works with Rogue being so important, just from like opportunities for big prize purses, like you kind of have to do Rogue. Like you don't really get the option to like have an off season right after the game. So largely like it was like games, like you don't really get an off season, you do Rogue, and it's like, oh well, Wadapalooza is coming, so like after Wadapalooza is kind of like Wadapalooza till like the quarterfinals is more of an off season, in my opinion, than right after the games, if you want to look at it that way. So that's that is probably the main reason. It's not like, oh, he's so good at CrossFit, we're just never going to do CrossFit.
T-Bert says, looking forward to episode 400 as Brent has been on 100, 200, and 300. Yeah, he's my centennial guest. Every 100 I get cool. Brent on.
Cool. What episode is this?
363.
Nice.
Are you coaching him? Are you coaching Anton?
Yes.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. How good is he? Because he came up my feed there the other week and I was like, holy fucking shit, this guy's strong.
Yeah. Obviously he was a bronze medalist at the Olympics, but
yeah,
a long ways to go in the CrossFit realm.
Like how long? Like what's he going to do this year, do you think?
Nothing crazy.
Would you not tell him to stop weightlifting?
Fucking hell. But yeah, I mean, he was literally bronze, like third at the Olympics in 2020, right?
Yeah. Would you not say to him, or like when he posts a video like that, would you not be like, hey, how about do something?
I never know when his videos are from because he sells his own stuff as well. So I don't know.
Okay.
Hey,
how about that rower and toes to bar, Anton? How about you put down the barbell and get to work?
Yeah. Go run.
Geez, he's like, that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of stuff doesn't translate to much in CrossFit, unfortunately.
Yeah. Will I just reply? Will I reply to his comment and say, what's your Fran time?
Yeah, Fran time is probably pretty good. It's short.
Yeah.
Physiologically, that guy like that is just like so far on one end of the spectrum. It's obviously can be done, you know, like, I mean, Matt Frazier was a weightlifter prior to becoming the best CrossFitter ever. So, you know, but it's going to take a while.
What, the Brent thing, coaching him, I had assumed when I knew you were coaching him up as far as like Wadapalooza, I'd assume this, that you'd only coach him, that it would be like that it would be so time consuming, not that he's like a diva or whatever, but like that he'd be so, that he'd require such a high level of like programming and thought and communication and everything else that it would be, he wouldn't have the bandwidth for other athletes. But now you're working with, like you had Shelby Neal up with you like last week. Yep. You're working with Allison Scuds as well.
Yeah.
Do you, like, when you start having a conversation with another athlete, are you like, hey, Brent, is it okay if I take someone on? Or is he, like, cool at once it's not a direct, like, male direct competitor of his?
I think Shelby originally reached out to Brent to see if Brent would help coach, to see if, like, he
mentor would kind of.
Yeah, sort of like help her along. And then he said, well, you know, why don't you just ask Mike? It was his idea, basically.
Okay.
But I also, Brent's pretty aware that, like, I wouldn't coach anyone. I wouldn't coach a competitor of Brent's. Like, anyone that was, like, a male that was at the games, like, there's no way I would do. Like, I feel like it's a conflict of interest to, like, how do you coach two different people that are potentially in the same heat, like to just go 5 seconds slower than Brenton, that would be a pretty good time.
Yeah, you're like, slow down.
Pretty example, but like, I wouldn't coach someone who's like, who I thought was a competition or like an actual threat or like at the same level as Brent, let's say.
Would you coach another male games athlete though? I say one, like Brent's always going to be in the last heat. Would you coach someone who's in like heat one? Like someone on the up, but not nowhere near top five yet.
Maybe. It would be tough. It would have to be a really good fit. But definitely not a guarantee. Like if I chatted with them and depending on how Brent felt about it, I don't know. I don't really know. I haven't like I've always just kind of said, like, I won't coach someone who's been at the games. If someone, if I was coaching someone and they like happened to miraculously qualify for the games, I wouldn't be like,
you're out.
Good luck, like, but like, you know,
I would. Yeah. Do you want the good news or the bad news? Like, good news is you're going to the games. Bad news is I'm out.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that's a different scenario than like, let's say whoever finished 21st last year was like, hey, like, would you coach me? I'd be like, sorry. Like, no. Like, you're already doing pretty well. You don't need a new coach, probably.
Right. On that note, that was my next question. Shelby Neal went to the games last year. Yep. Her rookie appearance, she's quite good.
She's crazy good.
So does that logic not apply there then? You just went to the games, you did pretty good. You don't need a new coach. Like, why, like, how do those, like, when do you ever push back on those kind of conversations? Especially if you're saying that you were aware of, when Brent made a change, having a period of regret over it. Like, is there, do you, when someone comes to you, are you like, think about it? Like, are you sure? Like, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah, it's definitely not an automatic, like, yep, like, games athlete, like, get in, like, let's go. But yeah, like, thinking that if I can, like, see a opportunity that I think they're either lacking or, like, something that I can very obviously help with that would improve where they currently are, then I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I mean, again, a female games athlete has nothing to do with Brent. So, yeah, this was like kind of like the perfect storm, to be honest. And then getting to know her a little better last week when she was up training, she stayed at my place with my girlfriend and I, and she was just so cool. Just like, yeah, very intelligent, very mature. She's only 23 years old. Yeah, she works a full-time job. She's a freaking, I don't even know what her title is, but she designs prosthetics or something. Yeah, it's pretty intensive. It's not like she has a remote job where it's just like, oh, I just like, you know, sort of do this thing here. Like, she like has to work it like a lot. So
yeah,
pretty impressive what she's been able to do.
Yeah, she's good, man. She was like top 20, like 17, 18th? 18th.
I think 19th after they bumped, what's her name back? Jamie Green back. Because they originally moved Jamie Green to 20th, but I think they gave her points back. So I think Shelby was 19th. But yeah, fair. Just from, you know, we went over some stuff. Like, Brent and her and I went over a bunch of videos. Of hers, and it was like very clear to Brent and myself that, you know, we could make some huge improvements and like some movement inefficiencies that Shelby had. I think she like moved very well to like the naked eye, but there's definitely some like finer details in her game that can be helped. And it's like, you know, after training this week, I think she already is starting to see like, oh man, there's a lot that to be learned still. So,
And then the other end of the spectrum. So Shelby Neal is young. Oh, I'm not following her. I must give her a little follow. There you go. She's young and she's like had a rookie year and she's, you know, a rising star basically. Like, she repeats it this year. It's incredible. And then the other end of the scale, oh, that kind of sounds insulting. I don't mean that as an insult. But Alison Scuds has been a bubble athlete, like an almost athlete for years.
Yep.
Perennial semifinalist, like, or whatever version of semifinals there had been previous to semifinals. She was on the demo team. Like, she's always like almost there.
Yeah.
Any reluctance on taking on someone who's almost done it so many times to be like, oh, like, it's a very different challenge from someone who's just made it and who, like, small little tweaks. Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, not really. I guess the only reluctancy with Allison was the fact that, like, me and Allison have been friends for longer than just this coaching relationship. I actually met her long ago when she was coached by Brute, and I had done some, like, you know, some weightlifting work with her, just like some small amounts. And, you know, we just kind of like, you know, had been friends or like acquaintances. And we like, it was just kind of like, I didn't want this, like, it's like, oh, if, like, you know, that always that worry, it's like, oh, if things like don't go good, it's like, I don't really want to like lose a person that I enjoy having as a friend. So, I mean, that would be the really only thing, but like, at the same time, it's like, it could be nice to like get her to like get over that hump. And like, you know, she's been at it for so long and been like, you know, to be able to qualify for the regionals for when she did the first time and then still being able to go to the semis, it's like that in itself is like a huge feat that I don't think like people really understand how hard that is. That it's like every year everyone, like there's more and more new people coming in and everyone's getting better. Like it's just everyone at the semifinals now is very good. You know what I mean? It's like it might not look like that because, you know, it's there's still levels to get to the where like the Brents of the world are. So it's like, oh, they kind of like look like average Joes when they're in the last heat at semis. But like that, that person walks into your gym, it's like they're murdering everyone at your gym. Yeah. So yeah, it's like if I could, you know, if I can help her get over that hurdle and get there, or, you know, at least give her the best opportunity to do so, then that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like Allison. She's cool. She's a nice person. I don't know.
How, yeah, great human.
How I struggle so much to finish that sentence. Nice woman. Nice person. How many tattoos have you got?
I don't know, man. Lots.
Walk me through the thought process behind getting a tattoo on your face.
Didn't take much. I mean, it wasn't something I mulled over. It was just, I was like, I wanted to do it. Found a guy that I had seen done a few other ones. It's a super sensitive area, obviously, to tattoo. Like, it's not just something you can just like go at like and not be good at it. It's like very, very much, this whole tattoo was like dotted. But yeah, I don't know. There wasn't like a lot of like, oh, should I or shouldn't I? And then 2 years later, I got it done. It was probably like all done in the same week, like from, oh, I want to do this to like getting it done.
And that means you've killed someone, right?
Yes. That's what Shelby's boyfriend was like. It's funny. We laughed about it because she's like, yeah, like Frank was telling me, like, make sure you ask him if he's been to jail. I'm like, yeah, but he's already sent you here. Like, what? What if the answer
is... go stay in his house and then ask him.
Yeah. And find out for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait till he's standing beside a knife block. And then ask him what happened. Yeah, I guess when you get a face tattoo, I think anything above your collar line or below your like shirt cuff wrist line is like, I am hereby committing to never work in an office again. Like, that's what that says to me. It's like this is me signing my contract to never work in an office.
Yeah, you better get really good at coaching CrossFit because
yeah.
You can't do anything else now.
That temp receptionist job, it's not happening. I hate to break it to you. Just keep being nice to Brent. Like, don't, yeah, just keep him on side and you'll be okay. Yeah. When did you get your first tattoo?
Probably, I think I was, what, 21?
20. What was your familial reaction? Because, like, tattoos and golf, in my mind, they're separate.
Goth, did you say?
Golf.
Golf.
Like people who grow up playing golf and then people who get tattoos, in my Venn diagram, they're in two different circles.
They usually are, yeah.
So what was a familial reaction to you coming home?
My mom always, I feel like my mom always pretended to hate them, and then it was like the next day it was fine. It was like,
whatever. I don't think that's pretending. I'd say it's the opposite. I'd say it's she really hated them, but pretended she liked them for your sake.
maybe. But it was like never like a drawn out thing where it was like, you know, 2 weeks later, she was like, oh, goddamn.
If you want to live under this roof.
Yeah. She was cool. My dad just was like that.
So you have both arms, chest, anything on your back?
No, nothing. Just back of my neck, but no, nothing on my back. No.
Because you can't see it. Not worth it. Not worth the investment if you can't see it.
I mean, maybe one day, but I've just started getting my right leg done. My upper quad and my kneecap I just got done maybe a few months ago.
And what does it take for you to permanently etch it on your skin? Is it like you find tattooists that you like and admire their work and you let them pick whatever they want? Is it you find designs? Does it have to mean something to you? Does it have to be meaningless to you?
A little bit of all of those categories. I've seen, like, you know, certain art from certain tattoo artists where I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to get tattooed by that person regardless of what it is. I have some like very stupid tattoos that just like don't mean anything, and then I have some that do. So it's like I don't have like a specific, it's like not like I only get tattoos if they're like whatever.
Would you ever get your eyeball tattooed? That's the thing, isn't it?
Eyeball. No.
That's a thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is a thing. Would you ever get like the head of your penis or something like crazy extreme?
No.
No.
That's a very weird question.
I know, yeah. But it's just like, I feel like if someone has tattooed hands, face, I feel like nothing's off the table. Like, it's like, yeah, whatever. I'll do whatever.
Fair. That's fair. But no.
I feel like you need to be anesthetized or something to do the head of your penis. I don't think that's a...
Maybe.
I don't think that's a decision you make and follow through with within a week. I don't think that's like, I feel like a lot more thought goes into that other than just like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
Thinking about it is not a great thought.
Yeah. What's your next tattoo going to be? I've already worked out what you're leaving your back for.
What's that? A Brent mural?
Brent on the podium. Gold, gold medal, the fittest on earth t-shirt.
Could you imagine?
Just like almost life size.
I mean, there's some CrossFit shield tattoos out there. That's crazy to me. Like, that is way crazier than a face tattoo. Getting the CrossFit Games shield tattooed on your body is...
You mean like the logo, like the 2022, whatever? Well, the stupid thing about that is most of them have the fucking sponsor on them. So it's like the Noble CrossFit Games, and then Noble are like bankrupt or whatever. Like, you know, it's like pointless.
Is that the stupidest thing, though? Or is it that you have the CrossFit Games tattooed on you?
I think branding it. Like, I remember when Wadapalooza last year said, if you get the logo tattooed, and then genuinely, right. I considered it for like a minute, and I was like, well, hang on, it's got Tier. It's Tier Wadapalooza that's written on it. What if Tier aren't the sponsor in 3 years' time? And then I just have this old logo that's just nothing, you know?
I mean, you could just go get it tattooed, scribbled out, probably.
Yeah, I have tattoos. Pedro would probably start crying when the tattoo artist wipes the antibacterial swipe on him. Yeah, if it was the head of my penis, yeah, probably. But I actually have tattoos, so no, I'm good. I don't think I've ever said head of my penis before.
So weird.
Good weird, though, right? Good weird. Okay, so you said that you made a lot of drastic changes with Brent. Any changes this year, or just kind of continuing... Like, you're kind of riding the wave at the minute, so do you just kind of keep going, yeah, and making small tweaks?
Mostly just a lot of, I shouldn't say like none, but like overarching same kind of game plan as last year, just kind of carrying on. But yeah, nothing crazy this year, I don't think, compared to last year.
What about the others? Do you make drastic changes to the others when they're new, or do you kind of go, okay, well, let's see what you're doing and, you know, we'll play it by ear,
yeah,
kind of thing?
I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about Shelby again, but yeah, like, you know, looked at what she was doing and kind of like give ideas and reasons as to like why we could make some change and why that would lead to progress, and then ideally be able to, like, you know, have some proof of that along the way, not just like, trust us, when you get to the games it's going to be sweet, like there's actual, you know, testing along the way where it'll give her some confidence as we go.
Do you talk to her the same way you talk to Brent, as in, do you explain, do you go into the nuance of what you're doing in the program? Just because, I don't know, you probably haven't seen it yet, but Hiller put out a video on Haley Adams. He spent like 48 hours with Haley Adams and with her coaches and was going through, it's fucking incredible. Like, it's an hour long. It's unbelievably good. Like, really good.
Who's this?
Hiller was with Haley Adams down in, I don't know, wherever.
The guy who just calls no reps on people.
Yeah, that's quite a historical reference. But yeah, it is actually.
I don't really know anything about him. Is he a filmmaker?
Yeah, so he does. He makes videos himself. He makes YouTube videos himself.
Okay.
On like currently trending topics or, the general zeitgeist. Is that the right use of that word? And then he made this. I would classify this video as very off-piste from what he usually does. So he went down with Haley Adams, spent like 48 hours with her. Like there was crying. There was like, it was crazy good, like ridiculously good. But the reason I'm bringing it up is at one point he's talking to Josh Murillo and Haley Murillo are her coaches. And he's talking to them and they were saying they were having informal chat with her before they became her coaches, say. Yeah. And they were kind of saying like, well, what are you doing now? Like progression wise. And she was like, I don't know. And then they were like, okay, well, what are you doing? You know, like with regards to this. And she was like, I don't know. And all the answers were just like, I don't know. It's basically like stuff was on the board. She went, this is the impression I got. Yeah. Previously stuff was on the board. She'd go in, she'd do it. She'd leave. And there was no thought process either given, like instruction given to her to think about it or her. She never took it upon herself to think about like, I wonder why I'm doing this. And I get the impression they had to undo quite a bit of damage of all of her lifting historically was seemed to be done by a clock, like EMOM style, you know, like, okay, you got 30 seconds, go again kind of thing. Whereas now they're making her sit on a stool between lifts and like forcing her to sit down and stuff, breaking kind of habits. Yeah. But it got me thinking about like Brent is probably, maybe Pat too, but Brent is probably in a league of his own when it comes to dissecting his programming and thinking about it and, you know, like really piecing it together and taking it apart again. How rare, am I wrong? Like, is he not as rare as I think he is? Or is he very rare in CrossFit from your experience that like kind of intelligence isn't there?
Yeah, I think you're pretty accurate with that statement. I think that what you're describing about Haley, and again, I don't know anything about Haley or what she used to do for training. I mean, she was with Mayhem, but I don't know what any of their stuff looks like. But from what you're describing, like, I still think that that's a huge thing in CrossFit is just like, again, going back to like, you know, the good old days where it was like Froning just throws up, you know, 6 Metcons on the whiteboard and you just like start naming movements and it's like, oh, you just do them. And, you know, like maybe Rich had more of a method to his madness than like he was letting on. But like, I think a lot of people just kind of like took that and was like, oh, all we just got to do is just hit CrossFit hard and like then we'll get good. And it's just like that, just those times have largely like have passed. So I feel like if that's what you're doing, then you're probably asking for trouble at some point.
Yeah. It's interesting. So is Brent going to win the games this year then?
I don't know. I have no idea. Probably a lot of it depends on what the workouts are at the CrossFit games. That's probably the biggest factor. He's probably one of, I'd say, 5 guys that I'd say has an opportunity to win this year.
Who are the other 4?
Pat, Roman, Ricky, Justin, Jeff. Is that 6?
Yeah, but that's okay. How come Justin goes back up?
Because he's done it twice. He knows how to do it.
Okay, that's fair. It's interesting. I'll just ask you that question again. You just answer yes. Is Brent going to win the games this year?
I don't know.
Just give me the answer that I want, and then I'll leave. No, I'm kidding.
Do you want to click the on the app? You want to click yes, he's going to win the games?
Like, as if I'm not going to fucking click that anyway. We both know me well enough at this stage to know that regardless, he could have another knee surgery tomorrow, I'd still pick him.
He's going to be more prepared this year than he's ever been at the CrossFit Games in the past.
What makes you say that?
Assuming he stays healthy.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. I just know.
Is it because he's had 2 years of the current programming by then? Is that the logic?
kind of just like
he's been quite prepared previously.
Yep. I just feel like this is this year more than last year. And I feel like last year we were starting to see signs of like what he was actually capable of.
Isn't that crazy though, that like people were talking about it for him, but people were talking about like retiring and like, oh, how many years has he got left? And it's like, he's at his peak. Like he's coming to his peak now in your eyes as his coach. Like that's remarkable.
Well, he'll be the first to admit the moment that he doesn't think he doesn't see progress or that he doesn't believe that he can win given the right circumstances, he would retire. But until then, he'll keep going as long as he's healthy.
Do you think you'd be like depressed if you retired? If he did this year and then like second week of August was just like, hey, Dave, I'm out, man.
Like after this season, if he retired?
Yeah, yeah.
No, would I be depressed?
Like, would it hit you like a bus?
No, I mean, I'm sure I'd be like, remember when like we used to, you know, prepare for the CrossFit games, but I'd be stoked for him. I mean, his career is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyone that's been doing it for as long as he has, and literally they're still in the top five in the world. It's just like, it's crazy. Like it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
If he decided that at the end of the year, it would be for good reason, he wouldn't just be like, I think I'm done. I can assure you he's not the type of person to make a decision like that lightly.
He's not a face tattoo guy. He's not going
to. And if he was, he would take 10 years to make the decision.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of research, some interviews.
Yeah.
I actually think I will be depressed if he retires. I don't think I'm not mentally prepared for that. I've had like, there's been lots of talk. I think when Pat and Brent go, like, I honestly don't know what I'll do.
Like from a like fan of the sport aspect, I'd be,
yeah,
I understand what you're saying, but like from a, like, you know, coach athlete thing, it's like, it's his decision, but like, I know what you mean. They're both of them are great for the sport.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't get the impression that they'll do that, like, walk into the sunset doing team for a couple of years. I feel like they'll just disappear. It'll just be, like, so hard to take.
I can assure you that he will not be. I mean, I shouldn't speak for him, but he will not be going on a team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of depressing.
I'm curious to know, like, why do you feel that way about Brent and Pat? Like they wouldn't like end up on a team for a year or whatever.
Why do I think they wouldn't do it?
Yeah.
I just think like, I think they both love what they do. And I think they both love the outcome of what they do. But I think it's a job. And I think that once it's basically like they're getting to the board level of their job. They're on the board level and they're just going to retire and take their pension. And they're not going to like, they're not going to move to a different branch of the company. They're not going to like start a new office somewhere. They're just going to be like, fuck that. Like I've done, like, I remember when I started teaching, someone told me that there's like, is it three stages of your career or something? There's like stage one is where you don't know anything and you think you know everything. And then stage two is where you know a lot and you're willing to help people. And stage three is where you know everything and people can go and get fucked. Like, I'm nearly retired. Like, ask someone else. I don't care. And I feel like apart from the PFAA stuff and like the, you know, like the helping and like that kind of stuff, but I feel like they're in that stage of their career now where they're like, I'm almost done. Like, it's like I'm just heading towards, like, the horizon is in sight. The line in the horizon is becoming very large and I'm like, I'm almost over it. I'm hoping that there's at least like 4 years left.
Yeah.
I know that's not logical, but.
I mean, they both have got families going now too, right? Yeah. So it's not like, you know, it's like, oh, like, I'm going to bring my family to watch like me and my other buddies like exercise together quickly. Like,
and now I'm reliant on three other people to be there when I need to be there, or I'm reliant on you know, like now I'm relying on other, it's not just me and my, like, well, they both have stuff at home, you know?
And there's already like, you know, no money in CrossFit. So like going on to the team side, it's like, well, that's just, there's even less.
Yeah. If they went in a team together, they'd probably make a decent bit of money, but they probably have a bit of fun as well. But I don't know. The two of them, Emily, Rolf, they get on well, don't they?
Brent's not a great worm partner, in case you haven't noticed. But
he enjoyed FitFest, though. He seemed to enjoy that.
Oh, he loves it. He loves it. Like, he loves
the
act of being on the team. It's just like he's not built to be a team athlete. Like, you want four people close to the same size in a perfect world.
Yeah, he does kind of fuck up the worm a bit because it's kind of got like a peak.
Yep.
Mary's asking, are you going? I feel this could be a text, couldn't it? Are you going to 24.1?
Yeah, it definitely could be a text. But am I going to 20? No, I'm not going.
Do you, were you reluctant to do this show?
Yeah, a little bit.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, yeah, don't care.
It's me, isn't it?
You're a nice guy. Like,
I feel like you don't like the spotlight or the attention. I feel like if you did, you'd be going to 24.1. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay. Thank you for doing something that you didn't want to do. I appreciate it. You're a cool guy. I really like you. I like you a lot. You're a good guy. A lot of that's probably spillover from liking Brent so much, but I do like you on your own too. Thanks for coming on. It's like really great to chat to you. You're a very intelligent guy. It's great. Good luck with the year, the season.
Sweet. Maybe I'll retire from podcasts and you'll be the only one I've ever done.
Oh, imagine. And people say, God, it must have been terrible that he never did another one after that. Do one more and then blame that one.
Right.
Do one more and walk out early. Like walk out after like 10 minutes. Be like, you know what? Fuck this and hang up.
This is so shit compared to Coffee Pods and Wazman.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Don't forget to go and buy a t-shirt so I can, you know, pay my mortgage and stuff.
Yeah, man. Sweet. Thanks for having me.